Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. There's word today of another internal investigation of the beleaguered Massachusetts State Police. The Boston Globe's reporting that troopers assigned to Logan Airport apparently destroyed at least 8 weapons that were seized at the airport, and that's raising questions about how state police are handling evidence. The state police are already under investigation, as we said, for an overtime pay scandal that has led to criminal charges against 10 troopers. There's also an investigation into the destruction of payroll records. Joining us to talk about the latest developments is Boston Globe investigative reporter Shelley Murphy. Shelley, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi.
So can you tell us a little bit about this latest incident and how it came to light?
Yeah, so what happened is a member of the U.S. Coast Guard was passing through Logan Airport about a year ago. He placed his backpack on the baggage scanner, and the TSA noticed that he had a firearm in his backpack. You might be surprised to hear that apparently this happens a lot of times around the country. Thousands of people do this every year. But in this case, the state police seized the weapon. It turned out it was an antique firearm. The member of the Coast Guard, the passenger, he was summoned into court to face a charge of illegal, you know, carrying of a firearm in Massachusetts. He said that, you know, he was assigned to Maine. He didn't know that he needed a license to carry it to the airport in Massachusetts. But the judge looked at the charge and said, the law doesn't apply to this gun. This is an antique gun. Apparently, there was a Supreme Court ruling a few years back, a state Supreme Court ruling, that said the law does not apply to antique firearms. And basically, that's because of guns that may be used in Civil War or Revolutionary War reenactments. So he said this charge is invalid. Prosecutors dismissed the charge. The judge said, give him back his gun. And the state police said, we don't have it. They said the gun had been destroyed, which concerned the judge. He said, you know, you can't destroy evidence in a pending case. How was it destroyed? So over the course of, you know, recent months, there were back and forth hearings in East Boston Municipal Court, and the state police said, well, this gun was accidentally destroyed along with 7 other guns that had been seized at the airport. So the judge asked for more proof that, you know, as to how they were destroyed. Now, initially, the state police said that they had court orders to destroy all of these guns, but then said, well, we made a mistake. We didn't actually have court orders, but, you know, the officer who handles evidence at the airport determined that these cases that these guns were linked to were closed, and therefore we destroyed the guns. Well, the judge came back and said, there are no court orders. We have no evidence of any court orders ordering the destruction of the guns. Give me proof. Show me what cases you're talking about. So there was a recent hearing in court where they, you know, the state police were ordered to provide more information. So now they came back yesterday and filed an affidavit in court saying they actually had mistakenly not only destroyed the antique gun taken, you know, last year, but also destroyed a second gun that was taken from a passenger while the case was still pending. So where this case stands now is the judge is looking for some proof that the guns were actually destroyed and more about what is the practice of state police and, you know, how they handle guns that are seized at the airport.
Ay, ay, ay. So do you know what this gun is worth? Is it valuable, this antique gun? What is the...
Well, you know, that is a really, really great question. And if only they had the gun, someone might know what this was worth, right? So my understanding is that the antique gun was a replica, not an original, which would make it less valuable. But some of the other guns on this list that were destroyed, including the other one that was mistakenly destroyed in a case that was pending, that one is worth much more money. So it's hard to put a dollar value on these. I mean, the way it works is that when TSA seizes guns around the country, and as I said, you know, it's illegal to carry it's a prohibition by TSA to have a gun in your carry-on luggage. You can actually, you know, if you're a licensed, you know, gun owner, you can pack it up unloaded in your checked baggage under, you know, certain conditions, separate from the ammunition, but not in a carry-on.
It's kind of hard to believe that someone wouldn't know that in this day and age.
Well, that's what's kind of funny. You know, yes, and yet, you know, last year there were 4,239 firearms seized at airports around the country at checkpoints, you know, in passengers' carry-ons. And usually, most of the time, it's someone who says, oh, my God, I forgot it was in my briefcase. My wife packed, you know, my bag, and they get into, you know, they're fined. It's a fine under the federal, you know, rules. But when these people in Massachusetts, because you need a license, what's happening here is you'll see someone who's a licensed carrier in Maine or New Hampshire, and they're catching a flight out of Logan, and they have it in the bag. And, you know, if they looked on the website, they would know you shouldn't have it in the bag, period. But I think this case, the one involving the Coast Guard member, it was a replica gun. It was one of these old, an antique gun, which a black powder pistol, which these are really old guns that it's not regular bullets. It's different. And he didn't understand that he wasn't supposed to have it. And, you know, the trooper agreed with him. And in the report that was filed, you know, in court said, you know, he wasn't intentionally trying to evade security. It would normally be a fine, but because of Massachusetts, you know, strict gun laws, you know, he was summoned into court. But then, you know, as it turned out, he shouldn't have had, you know, it wasn't illegal under the Massachusetts law. But I think the bottom line here is, what do they do with the guns that they seize? And what the state police have not explained is, what is their policy? Like, there's, you know, initially they said they had court orders to destroy these guns, and it turns out they didn't. So what law or, you know, policy are they following when they take these guns? There were, of the 8 guns that were destroyed, 2 of those they said they had agreements with the owners that voluntarily waived their right to the guns. But the others, that wasn't the case. So, you know, I think, you know, going forward, they said they'll require a court order. But what is interesting is, around the country, when TSA seizes these guns, they hand them over to the local authorities, and then they decide what to do with them. And in some states, including New Hampshire, they sell surplus weapons online, you know, if they've now legally, you know, the owner has no more rights to them and it's all been litigated, they can sell them and make money on them.
And how does this fit into, you know, the whole pattern of scandals? Can we call it Troopergate yet? Have we made that name? I mean, really, this has been it's been, you know, more than a year, it seems, of every other month there's a new scandal erupting involving Massachusetts State Police. How does this one fit in? Do you think that there
will... I think so in this case, you know, the trooper who was in charge of handling evidence at the airport has been removed from that job. He is not, you know, he is still a trooper. He's not been placed on any leave. But I think that, you know, what they're saying is they're now doing an audit of evidence, you know, at the troop house at the airport. But I think what it really comes down to is oversight, you know, accountability, supervision, you know, who's watching, you know, what's happening with evidence over there. How is it that, you know, now the state police are saying, ooh, we plan going forward to make sure guns aren't destroyed without, you know, a court order in these cases. But they've only, from what I can see in this record, they looked at only the 8 guns that were destroyed last year, last May. How many other guns have been destroyed over the last few years? Under what authority? How do we know they were destroyed? You know, I think that it raises a lot of questions about, you know, really, you know, who's minding the store over there. And frankly, you know, as we had, you know, included in today's article, my colleague, Matt Rochelot, he had looked through state police inspection reports that we had requested through a public records request. And there are cases where, you know, guns in police custody are listed as being destroyed, but they weren't. They're still there. Or they were returned to the owner. So, you know, at a minimum, it's sort of sloppy in terms of how evidence is being stored and, you know, accounted for.
Have we heard from Governor Baker at all yet about this latest development?
We have not heard from Governor Baker on this. We have heard from, you know, the state police that are saying that we are, you know, we're looking at this, we're doing an audit, we've removed the officer in charge of evidence, and they're now, you know, they're not commenting beyond that. I find it surprising that they won't comment, you know, on what their practice is. What policy are you following when you are ordering these guns destroyed?
Right. Boston Globe investigative reporter Shelley Murphy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.